Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Handy and Friends. So happy to be back behind the podcast mic today and joined by someone who is filled with the spirit, filled with creativity, and filled with wonderful artistic talent. Joining me today is Katie Broussard, and Katie is an artist, an educator, and the illustrator of a great new children's book called Audacious Ignatius, which is, not surprisingly, about the life of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Katie loves creating illustrations for stories that are inspiring for kids and parents, and she also loves encouraging people of all ages in their creative pursuits. Really happy to have her on the show today. Welcome, Katie Broussard.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a real treat. And people who listen to the podcast regularly know that I often have a favorite question that I start off with, where I ask my guests just to share a little bit more about your story. So, Katie, before we dive into talking about the book, tell us a little bit more about your story, just who you are and where you're at in your faith journey right now.
Sure. So, like you said, I love art, but I actually came to art through my background as a high school science teacher.
Which is a funny segue.
Yeah, that's not how everyone comes to art, right?
No.
So I am a graduate of the Notre Dame Alliance for Catholic Education program, and I became a science teacher, taught physics and biology here in Chicago for 9 years, and I left the classroom to be home with my kids. I have two little boys who are 5 and 7, and I started creating art and illustrations when I discovered how much I loved doing art projects with them.
So that's so amazing.
That's just a little bit of my story.
I feel like so often in my life that the Holy Spirit just leads me to like people who I know are going to be awesome new friends of mine. And Katie, I think that I felt like that was definitely the case as soon as we were put together. So many things that you just said in your statement, aside from the science part, are things that we share a love for. So, and our listeners know that ACE, the Alliance for Catholic Education at Notre Dame, is a cause that's very near and dear to my heart. While I didn't do ACE myself because I'm way too old and it didn't exist when I was in college, I'm such a fan of the work and the illustrator for my most recent book, which is I Am God's Storyteller, is actually someone who interned this year at ACE. And it's been coming up over and over again, and love for children's books is definitely something that we have in common. And I also have two sons, although they're far older than yours, but it's a joy that keeps on giving. So,
that's so cool. I'm
yeah. And you taught at Cristo Rey, is that correct?
I did. Yes. I taught at Cristo Rey in Chicago.
So that kind of plays into this a little bit because maybe people might not know about Cristo Rey. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that institution, and that'll help us get more into the conversation about the book.
Sure. So Cristo Rey is an amazing model of school where students have an opportunity to pay their Catholic school tuition by working at a corporate internship, usually one day a week. So four or five students will share a corporate internship, and they'll each have a day where they go and work. And they're jobs that you typically wouldn't be able to get as a high school student, working at a bank or a law firm or something like that. So it's really an amazing education, both in the classroom and the education that you get on the job. Students have an amazing resume by the time they graduate from high school,
which is phenomenal.
Pretty cool. And I loved working there. It was a wonderful community and really inspiring.
So did you go directly there from ACE directly into Cristo Rey?
I did. Yeah, I actually did ACE in L.A. I taught at Cantwell Sacred Heart of Mary High School, and I found out about Verbum Dei High mm-hmm. School. Are you familiar?
Yes. You know, I live in L.A. now, so yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And so that,
yeah, so kind of found out about the network of Cristo Rey schools that way. But I was headed to Chicago, so ended up at Cristo Rey Chicago.
Fantastic. And I have to ask about the science teacher thing, because I'm like the person who I had my one little year of chemistry in high school, and then I took what we lovingly in college called Rocks for Jocks, which was like me and the football team. I'm so lame at any science. Were you a science major in school, or did you just gravitate towards science in teaching?
I did. So, again, with having diverse interests, I majored in biology and theology when I was in college.
I love that. It makes sense. It makes sense.
I might have been the only one.
No, it's awesome. And that's so great. So it's kind of like God was giving you all the skills that you would need to do exactly what you've done recently, which is to put together this amazing book. So tell us, you know, how did Audacious Ignatius come about?
So the short answer is that my brother and I, my brother is the author of the book, Paul Mitchell. He and I both taught at Jesuit schools. I was at Cristo Rey and he was at a school called Chicago Jesuit Academy, which is a middle school. And we both had left the classroom to be home with our kids. He's a stay-at-home dad. And while we were together and taking care of the kids, we talked about this project. He had written the book actually while he was at Chicago Jesuit Academy as a way to share the story of St. Ignatius with new faculty, and got inspired to adapt it for children.
Yeah, that's amazing.
While being home with his kids, and he asked me to illustrate it. I had kind of just started dabbling in art classes at that point and trying to hone my skills a little bit. And I decided to try to illustrate the book and just kind of enjoyed the process. And We learned a lot about book design and,
And the
I
book,
guess that wasn't really a short answer.
No, but that's great. And so first of all, I have to ask, what was it like to work with your brother? Because that can be, I mean, I'm the oldest of five, so I have wonderful brothers that I love, but the creative process can also be, it can be really wonderful and fulfilling, and it can also be challenging. So were there any difficulties in that, or was it just smooth sailing and all went well?
Well, you know, it's funny. We have actually been talking about doing this together since we were kids.
Wow.
We just kind of knew. Paul has liked to write for a long time. I liked to draw even when I was younger. So we have always kind of said, like, you know, someday we're going to do that. And so, you know, when we were working on this book, we were like, all right, well, this is our time. So there definitely were challenges, but I think we kind of had a sense of, this is something that we want to share. And, you know, we've always known that we were going to do this. So, of course, we're doing this. And I think that giving and receiving feedback is definitely a challenge. It can be hard to give and receive, especially critical feedback. But I think we grew through the process of doing that. And my brother was even reflecting the other day that when we were in high school, we used to kind of edit each other's writing for English class. And he was like, I think that's kind of where we learned how to do this, you know, how to help each other with feedback. So
am I allowed to ask which sibling is the elder?
I'm the oldest.
Okay. that's funny. I always have this ongoing conversation with my younger sister about, you know, being the oldest and what that means in terms of your relationship with everybody else. So I just wondered, that's so cool. And,
are you the oldest also?
I am the oldest of five, and we're pretty spread out. My youngest brother is actually 14 years younger than me, so I'm definitely the oldest. But it's funny, we all have different, you know, families have different roles in their relationships. So I can't imagine working on a book with any of them, and yet it would be totally awesome. So maybe you'll inspire me.
It really was.
The path to publishing the book was a little bit different, right? And tell me about your publication process and the press that is the publisher for it.
Yeah, so we decided that we wanted to publish the book on our own and just kind of completely do everything ourselves. So we did the writing and illustrating, of course, but also the book design. I learned a lot about how to use software for book layout, and we found a printer here in Chicago that was able to print the books, and we started a company called Corday Press to distribute the books. So we really just kind of did everything ourselves.
Is there a significance to the name of your publishing company? Corday Press.
There is, yes. So Cordis is a family name. So Corday is sort of related to our family name of Cordis. And we published the book in 2018, which was the year that my grandmother passed away. And she was really a mentor in the faith for us. And we also noticed that Corday is the Latin word for heart. And this was certainly a project that was close to our heart.
Oh, that's beautiful. And so is this Catherine Cordes Mitchell, which is mentioned in your acknowledgement. So beautiful. So beautiful.
Yes, we dedicated the book to her.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, let's dive into talking about the book. So Audacious Ignatius, it's a hardcover children's book. It's beautifully illustrated. Am I correct in guessing that it's both watercolor and some other media as well for the illustrations?
Yes, watercolor and charcoal.
Oh, so amazing. And the book is interesting in that it's in rhyming meter. And as someone who writes children's books, I know how hard that is, especially when one of the words is Ignatius. But you guys seem to have a great time with the prose on making everything rhyme. And I can't believe how many words actually rhyme with Ignatius. So so kudos.
That's all Paul. I give him all the credit for that.
Totally awesome. So let's talk a little bit about your artwork in this, because you definitely have a beautiful vision. How did the artwork come together? And I know from working on my Time Travelers books, which deal with the lives of the saints, that you need to do some historical research to make something like this accurate. So what kind of work went into your preparation to get ready to do the art for the book?
Oh, that's a great question. So definitely looking at portraits that have been done of St. Ignatius, just kind of seeing what he looked like, researching to some extent what the churches and places looked like where he was, and the books that he read during his conversion, and the crest of the Loyola family, and different things like that.
Oh, fun. You have some fun with it, too. I mean, there's not just St. Ignatius, but there are a couple of other saints in here, too. So we see Joan of Arc, and we see St. Patrick, which are two of my favorites. And I really love, there's one particular page where you talk about his prayer life, and he's actually in a church, and the stained glass window those that are there depict the Holy Family. Were there any kind of places that inspired you, whether it was churches that you've been to or just different scenes that, that are in your everyday life that it, that made their way into the book?
Oh, great question. So the scene that you're talking about with the stained glass window, I was inspired for that one by a church that I have not been to, but there's a basilica in Montserrat. I think it's a basilica. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Where St. Ignatius had sort of an important moment in his conversion. There's a statue of Mary there in Montserrat where he left his sword.
Oh, I love that. And that's actually what you show on the very next page. Yeah.
Yes. So on the next page, you can notice that his sword is at Mary's feet and he's kind of, you know, running off to serve. So that, unfortunately, I have not had the opportunity to go to Montserrat yet, but, that was just inspired by pictures that I've seen. And, I have some friends that have gone on an Ignatian pilgrimage there that shared some, thoughts with me about what that might've looked like.
It's amazing how technology can help you with that too. When I was doing Chime Travelers, the third book is about St. Francis of Assisi, and I've never had the blessing of been going to Assisi, but I spent hours kind of like just driving around Google Earth in the satellite view and even like going down the streets and stuff just to get a feel for what it looks like now and distances and, you know, things that never really overtly make their way into the book, but give you a sense of being in a place. And I think particularly for children's work, when you have illustrations that you want to evoke the spirit of it, and then at the same time, you know, leave it open to the imagination of the child too.
Yes, absolutely. I never thought of doing that with Google Earth. That's a great idea. I do remember asking a couple people though that had been there. I was like, would the statue have been in, like right now the statue is in the basilica and it's behind the glass, but I feel like it wouldn't have been behind glass during Ignatius's time, you know. That's like a modern thing. So I asked a lot of people, do you think that statue would have been inside or outside? And ultimately I decided it would have been outside, but I just didn't know, you know, and no one knew for sure. So there was some imagination involved. And then there's also on the second to last page, there's like a modern day scene of different Jesuit ministries. And I had to include a picture of the chapel at Cristo Rey, the Sacred Heart Chapel.
So. Oh, is that okay? I'm looking at that page right now. Is it the one on the right or the left?
The one on the right that says, "And as the years passed, the company grew."
Yes. And I was actually going to. I was going to comment on that page and actually the feel of the book as a whole. That one thing that's really significant to me when we're creating resources for children is that we depict the beautiful ethnic diversity of our church, and that's definitely present in this book and particularly on that page.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that is something that's important to us as well. And we have a friend who had served in Hekima College in Nairobi, Kenya, and shared some images with me of the beautiful chapel that they have there at Hekima. So that image is from their chapel.
Oh, so beautiful. So actually, when you were putting together the artwork, what was kind of your process? Did you go beginning to end, or do you work sort of like on particular images and then jump around, or how does that work?
I went beginning to end, generally speaking. There were some pages that were just really hard, and I made lots of versions of some of the pages, just trying to find what was right. And so I kind of cycled back to them over and over. For example, there's a page where St. Ignatius is developing the spiritual exercises. And he says, first, know well that I'm loved, even though oh so flawed. Next, spend time with the Lord and walk where he trod. Offer all I possess, beg for my stony heart thawed, and act from a deep love, the love that is God. And I loved those words, and I loved how that related to my experience of the spiritual exercises. And I just had such a hard time figuring out how to capture that in images. And ultimately, you know, it was an image of Ignatius in prayer and him imagining himself being baptized by John the Baptist and walking with Jesus. But it took me a really long time to get to those images. so I do not know how tall the stack is of paintings that I, you know, tried and rejected for that page. But that was not my first shot.
Well, it turned out beautifully. They're fantastic. And that brings me to ask you. So in this particular format, you're doing watercolor. Are you actually... So I know some illustrators do like regular, you know, on paper and then take it to a digital. Did you how did that work for you with these designs?
So I started out working traditionally with watercolors, and then in order to get it into the layout program, I need to scan it. So I just scanned the images at a high resolution, and for some of them, I would combine multiple paintings together. So, for example, the page that I referenced about the spiritual exercises, that's actually three paintings, and I was able to combine them digitally. And, you know, so made any edits like that I needed to, and then uploaded it into Adobe InDesign, which can then make it into a PDF for the printer.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow. Well, I'm getting into the weeds here with the details, but it's just because this is a topic that I really enjoy talking about the format of books, too. And I think that it goes to show, you know, for any parent out there who's purchasing a picture book for your child, that what you're really gifting them is not just the story, but a work of art. And so to see, you know, to see the full process and to have been so involved in the publication, how is it now for you to hold this book and to read it with your sons?
Oh my gosh, it's surreal. It's so amazing. I brought a copy of it into the room where I do my painting the other day. And it was so funny to me to realize, wow, I worked on these paintings in here for such a long time, and now I have the finished book in here. Like, I would never have even been able to imagine. But it's really fun to read it with the boys. They enjoy the story, and they saw it through every stage of the process. So as I was working on it, every time I would finish a page, I wanted to make sure that it was not confusing and that it was interesting to look at. So I had a binder, and for every page that I finished painting, I would put it into a sleeve in the binder, and I sort of read them the story as it grew page by page. And, you know, I could see from their feedback what was boring or what was confusing and what I needed to change. And, yeah, just to have it completely finished now is
really amazing. Exciting. And so that's actually so great, because I've found in my work with children that, you know, if an adult doesn't necessarily gravitate towards something in your work, they'll often find a way to kind of kindly change the subject or redirect or be very gentle in their criticism. But with kids, if they, you know, if they're not feeling something, they'll usually let you know. So having your own,
they tell you.
Yeah, having your own sort of like test market in your house is actually really phenomenal for a project like this. Are they so proud of you?
They are, yeah. I think the thing that they were most excited about was when the book was in the library.
Oh, yes.
So we gave a copy of the book to our local library, and there was just something. We go to the library all the time, so I think there was just something about that. Like, when it was on the shelf in the library, it was a real book.
That's amazing. So, so what other kinds of feedback are you getting from people that have read it now?
We got some really exciting feedback just a couple of months ago. We got a letter from Pope Francis.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about that.
So we had been able to share the book with him through someone who is in formation in Rome.
That's phenomenal.
Okay. And I have a little helper here. And I'm still on the phone. Thank you. Yes.
So friends, the awesome thing about interviewing moms is that we often get to have the kids in on the podcast too. So Pope Francis gets the book through a mutual acquaintance, and did he have some feedback for you?
Yes, he took the time to write us a letter, which
is so kind. That's amazing.
And it was in Spanish, and he just said that he enjoyed the book and that he was glad that we had benefited from our time learning about the spirituality of St. Ignatius and how wonderful that we could share that with our children. Yeah, we were definitely pinching ourselves.
I can't imagine. That would be a super cool mail day, I have to say. That's totally awesome. So, you know, I'm kind of curious, Katie, about, you know, we just had an example of it. You're a busy wife and mom, and you have so much responsibility. Kind of how was it for you to take this leap back into something so creative, and how did you kind of clear the mental space and create enough time for yourself that you could not only just pull off a project like this, but also just give yourself permission to enjoy the art of creativity?
Well, it's not easy, for sure. I know you probably, as a mom and a writer, probably know that it's challenging to be creative as a parent.
Oh, yes. lots of early morning hours.
The early morning hours, exactly. I would say that the things that helped me kind of carve out this time was kind of giving myself some silence and some white space, and not always having a lot of input. So what I mean by that is, you know, if I'm in the car or I'm washing the dishes, I often have a tendency to, you know, put on an audiobook or put on a podcast or, you know, be listening to something and processing someone's ideas. And I have found that it helps me in my creative practice to just kind of embrace silence sometimes and just say, you know what, I am just going to try to listen to my own thoughts and reflect on what's happened to me today, pray, let my mind wander, you know, whatever happens. But for some reason, just kind of fasting from input in a way for part of the day just really helps me. Does that resonate with you at all? Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the interesting thing is that the more that you give yourself kind of get into that mode. For me, I have to carry a journal with me everywhere that I go, because when you give yourself permission to tap into that part of your brain, it's amazing. And when you say to God, okay, use me, use my, even though I'm very flawed and I'm not as talented as I would like to be, I'm giving myself over to you. And I want you to use me the way that you will, to share what you want me to share. Despite how fearful it can be to do that. And it's amazing when you do that, just where the ideas come from, and just how in everyday life, when you kind of pick your eyes up and look at the world around you, you know, I see it in words and stories and fragments of stories and ideas for different things. And I'm sure you see it in images and, you know, and ideas for beautiful art that you can create, or other stories that you can do, or whatever. It's amazing how the spirit can work in us in that way.
Yes, that's so true. I think that it just changes the way that I look at the world. If I've been painting or kind of racking my brain trying to figure out how to lay out a picture, it just, you'll see a picture in a book, or you'll see a stained glass window and you'll think, oh my gosh, I got it. You know, it just like kind of gets your brain working in a different way, I guess.
And I love that. Go ahead.
The other thing I would say just about creativity as a parent is being interrupted a lot and having limited time are sort of the realities of being creative as a parent. And I think that it took me a while to realize that even though those are really challenging, there's a gift in that as well, and that it can be really hard to be interrupted. But sometimes when I'm taken away from what I'm working on and then I come back to it, I'm glad that I was kind of forced to stop working on whatever detail that I was working on and kind of step back with fresh eyes and see the big picture. And just and just with having limited time, I think I am tempted sometimes to try to make something perfect, whatever that means, and just keep working on it forever. And I think when you have limited time as a parent, you know, sometimes it just forces you to be like, well, when nap time's over, then I'm done. And this is, that's as good as it's going to get. And I think that's sometimes a really healthy place to be creatively, to just say, you know, I'm going to send this out and I'm going to learn from it. And, you know, the next one will be even better. So.
Amen to that. That's so interesting that you should say that. And I think realizing that even something like 20 minutes, a gift of time where, you know, you have 20 minutes, you know, you got to do something in that amount of time. And if you really give over to it, it's like a lot can be accomplished in that amount of time when you're not spending the whole time on Instagram or fiddling around
it's
with something
so
that doesn't need to be done. So I think that's it's a great thing. I also think it's really great for our children to witness us have a passion, pursue it, decide to learn something new. Yes, sometimes fail and get up from failure. I think it's good for them to see that at all phases of life, you know, you can be something more than what you are, and what a gift it is that God gives us hearts and minds that give us the ability to do that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm laughing because it's like you're reading my notes. Like, that is exactly what I was going to say. I was thinking about how I had a hard time getting started with art because I felt like it was selfish for me to work on something that was like, it felt like painting was just for me. And
oh, yeah.
So it took me a while to even like buy the supplies and take the classes and kind of follow that interest that I had. But it was amazing to me to see how interested my kids were that I was working on that. And so, like you say, you know, I think they're fascinated, and you're setting a great example by kind of following what you're interested in and developing your creative interests.
Yeah. Well, Katie, it's such a joy to talk to you. I want to make sure that we point people to the right place if they, when they want to purchase a copy of Audacious Ignatius to bring this beautiful work that Pope Francis has in his library into your own home. Where's the best place for people to go to get a copy of the book?
So our website is cordepress.com. That's CORDEPress.com. And the book is available there.
Awesome. We will have friends links in the show notes wherever you're listening to the podcast to get over to cordepress.com to purchase a copy of the book. And I just can't say enough about what a, you know, this is one of those kind of heirloom books that will be in your home for years to come. And really is a beautiful work of art, both the prose, the hagiography, and the information on the saint, and also Katie's amazing art. You're really going to love it. So Katie, any closing thoughts before we let you get back to those kiddos?
I just wanted to say that I am also enjoying your books very much, Lisa. My almost second grader just finished the Magic Treehouse series, mm-hmm. and he was trying to figure out what to read next. And so we just started reading Chime Travelers Number 1, The Secret of the Shamrock. And we're really enjoying it.
Oh,
so
thank you. Well, you know what? And those books, now we're going on the fifth year of those books being out for summer reading. And it's been such a gift to see, as you will, when you go out to do school visits, and I know you've already started to do those, like to be able to connect with people that read your work is just a great gift. And, you know, working on things that, you know, are in people's homes. Now that I know I'm in your home, that just makes me so happy. So I'm so grateful to you for sharing it with them. Give them a fist bump for me. I always love
I will do that.
I love meeting readers. Well, Katie, I hope that we'll talk again in the future, but until then, definitely friends, check out katherinebroussard.com and also cordepress.com for the latest on Katie's work. You can follow her on social media. We'll have links to both the Audacious Ignatius account and also to Katie Mitchell Broussard for you to follow her on Instagram, and you'll get all a great idea of the beautiful art. So, Katie, thank you so much. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you, Lisa. So fun to talk to you.
Well, friends, that is it for this week's podcast. I really, really want to encourage you to go pick up this book. It will be, whether or not you have a little one directly living in your home, everybody knows a child. And so if this is a book that you donate to your parish, to your religious education program at your school, whatever it is, definitely get a copy of it, because it's definitely a beautiful way to know the spirituality of one of the tremendous spiritual fathers of our church, Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Again, the name of the book is Audacious Ignatius. Can't recommend it enough. And as I say every week when I close out, I'm so grateful to our friends at Breadbox Media being our podcast home. You can help grow the show by leaving a star rating or review for us wherever you listen, especially over iTunes. That's super helpful. Or just hit share and send the podcast to a friend today to help us spread the word about the work that we're doing. I love your feedback, so you can reach me anytime on social media at Lisa Hendy or by email to lisahendy@gmail.com. Until next week, I hope you have an awesome week, friends. God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.